众朋友们，大家好，今天是7月24号，星期五，欢迎收看《美国观察》。据联邦法院的一份文件显示，一名隐瞒其中国军医大学背景的科研人员，因为签证欺诈问题而被美国的联邦调查局约谈之后，他躲入了中国驻旧金山的领事馆。
这份7月20日在加利福尼亚北区联邦法庭提交的文件说，唐娟以 J1 访问学者签证在加州大学戴维斯分校从事研究工作。他在申请签证时没有披露他与中国人民解放军的关系。调查发现他为空军军医大学工作，是现役军人。法庭文件显示，联调局获得搜查证后，在6月20日搜查了他的家，发现了他与解放军有关系的证据。联调局还在当天对他进行了问话。唐娟在6月26日被控签证欺诈。检察官说，唐娟在被搜查和问话之后的某一天进入了中国驻旧金山领事馆，根据联调局的评估，她仍留在那里。这份法庭文件是关于另一名与中国军方有联系的签证欺诈案被告宋琛的。宋琛在斯坦福大学做 J1 访问学者，联邦检察官指控他隐瞒了与解放军空军总医院和第四军医大学的现有关系。美国之音新闻报道。
美国国会参议院国土安全与政府事务委员会周三无异议地通过了一项法案，禁止联邦雇员在政府提供的电子设备上使用抖音的海外版 TikTok。
法案接下来将由参议院全院对这个法案进行表决。随着美中关系的不断恶化，由于担心美国用户的个人信息可能落入北京的政府官员之手，美国对 TikTok 的国家安全担忧日益加剧。 TikTok 表示，它与中国境内的抖音互不相连， TikTok 从未向中国提供用户数据。这个星期早些时候，众议院通过了禁止联邦雇员在政府发放的设备上下载该应用程序的提案。随着众议院全院的通过和参议院委员会通过相关内容，针对 TikTok 的禁令可能很快会成为美国的法律。美国之音新闻报道。
美国多名重量级共和党参议员7月22日提出了一项具有里程碑意义的法案，推动民主共和两党合作，为与中国竞争的方方面面提供了蓝图。
这项称为针对中国加强贸易、区域同盟、技术、经济和地缘政治倡议法案，由参议院外交关系委员会主席李施和加德纳、罗姆尼以及托德扬等参议员共同提出。这个简称为战略法案的主要条款包括解决中国扭曲全球市场、伤害美国企业的经济行为，特别是知识产权盗窃和政府对中国公司的大规模补贴和赞助，通过增加与盟国及合作伙伴的合作来应对技术竞争，保护美国的机构不受中国的恶意和不正当影响，加强美国在印度太平洋地区的存在，以保护美国自身、盟国与合作伙伴的利益。如果中国表现出诚意和透明度，则尽可能在军备控制、朝鲜和环保等领域优先考虑合作而不是冲突。理事参议员说，中国共产党正在重塑国际秩序，使威权政权受益，并直接损害美国和民主体制的利益。
We have to make it completely clear to the Chinese Communist Party that we are willing and able to defend our interests. That means reaffirming our commitments to our Indo-Pacific allies, even as they need to take on a larger role in defending the interests we share.
李氏参议员希望这项法案将推动两党合作，为2020年及未来与中国的竞争提供一个全方位的蓝图。但是他也强调，这个法案的目的不是为了孤立中国，而是为了共同繁荣。
I want to stress that this bill that I've introduced does not seek to block China. Rather, what it does is it offers prosperity. It offers an invitation to join the international community and operate under the rule of law and under international norms. If that happens, we all will prosper.
特朗普总统上任以后，把中国视为美国的主要战略竞争对手。两国关系因为一系列领域的分歧而处于1979年建交以来的最低点。美国之音电视报道。
美国常务副国务卿比根表示，特朗普政府正在采取果断的措施对抗中国对美国构成的挑战。不过他也表示，美中保持接触对于管控紧张局势非常重要。
比根星期三在参议院外交关系委员会就美中关系议题发言时，对两党议员说，在对中国的政策问题上， 特朗普行政当局与以往的不同之处在于，他有直面美中关系中令人不舒服的事实的意愿。这个事实是，过去30年的政策没有带来很多人所希望的结果，而美国必须采取果断行动来对抗中国。
We find the China-U.S. relationship today weighed down by a growing number of disputes, including commercial espionage and intellectual property theft from American companies.Unequal treatment of our diplomats, businesses, NGOs, and journalists by Chinese authorities, and abuse of the United States' academic freedom and welcoming posture towards international students to steal sensitive technology and research from our universities in order to advance the PRC's military capabilities.
这位国务院的第二号人物说，特朗普总统正是因为这些原因才下令采取一系列的行动予以回应，包括下令关闭中国驻休斯顿总领馆。比根还提到，中国在香港和新疆等问题上所采取的令国际社会感到不安的行为。
There's also growing alarm around the world about the dismantling of Hong Kong's autonomy, liberty, and democratic institutions, the arbitrary mass detentions and other human rights abuses in Xinjiang,efforts to eliminate Tibetan identity, military pressure against Taiwan, and the assertion of unfounded maritime claims in the South China Sea.
比根说，其他令人关切的领域包括中国越来越强势的使用军事和经济胁迫，以及国家支持的散布虚假信息的行动，目标包括印度、澳大利亚、加拿大、英国、东盟成员国、欧盟和其他一些欧洲国家。这位副国务卿说，国务院启动了一些外交和经济倡议来捍卫美国及其盟友在一些领域的利益，这些领域包括全球的基础建设发展、市场准入和电信安全。他说，这些行动在任何情况下都有利于美国在全球的利益，而中国目前的所作所为使得美国的行动变得更为紧迫。美国正在向他的盟国与合作伙伴游说，希望他们不要使用中国电信巨头华为的 5G 无线网络。国务卿蓬佩奥在访问英国和丹麦期间与这些国家的领导人讨论了华为的问题，越来越多的国家已经决定不使用华为的设备。比根副国务卿说，国务院内部也进行了改组，使国务院的每个局和办公室决策过程中保持一致，同时组织协调美国的外交官，使他们专注于在世界各地与中国的竞争。他说，特朗普政府还在强化与盟友关系，共同应对中国。
As part of a comprehensive approach, we are engaged with allies and partners in the G7, the G20,and NATO to highlight the threat that the PRC poses not just to the United States interests, but also the interests of our allies and partners. We are broadening partnerships across the transatlantic community, the Indo-Pacific, the Middle East, Africa, and the Western Hemisphere.
尽管特朗普政府正在对中国的做法做出强硬的回应，但是比根强调了美中之间保持接触对于管控双方关系紧张的重要性。他最后表示，特朗普政府正在迅速采取必要的步骤来捍卫美国的利益，同时为未来的可能性留有余地。
As we seek to correct the imbalance in our relations with China, we must address today's realities while at the same time leaving open tomorrow's possibilities. With our friends and allies, we are standing up for universal rights and the rules-based international system. The system that has provided the world's collective peace, security, andprosperity for generations to the benefit of the United States, the People's Republic of China, and the entire world.
美国之音电视报道。
美国的铁路安全联盟要求制裁中国的机车制造商，以保护美国的经济利益还有国家安全不受侵害。
美国铁路安全联盟星期二致函美国财政部长姆努钦，要求美国政府动用国际紧急经济权利法对中国的中车集团施加制裁。联盟信函说，他们希望立即向中车集团施加有意义和永久性的制裁，以继续保护美国的经济与国家安全。世界最大的铁路客运机车制造商中车集团目前在波士顿、费城、芝加哥和洛杉矶等地通过投标拿到了关键的机车制造合同。 美国国防部上个月颁布的20家受中国军方控制的中国公司名单包括了中车集团。美国铁路安全联盟4年前由美国铁路制造商、供应商和铁路工人组成。
美国政府预计将支付2亿美元向美德2家制药公司购买将近1亿剂新冠病毒疫苗。
美国政府向美国辉瑞制药公司和德国生物科技公司支付19亿5000万美元。如果2家公司研制的新冠病毒疫苗安全有效，美国政府将购买1亿剂。这2家公司星期三说，他们与美国卫生与公共服务部和美国国防部最后敲定了协议，向2部提供他们联合研制的疫苗。美国政府与其他疫苗公司也签订了类似的协议，这是最新一项。卫生部长阿扎尔星期三说，如果疫苗安全有效，美国有可能额外购买5亿剂。美国继续居世界新冠病毒死亡人数之首，到目前为止有超过142,300人死亡。
特朗普总统正在扩大一项计划，将联邦特工派往芝加哥等城市以应对抗议活动。
自5月份乔治·弗洛伊德在警察拘押下丧生以来，黑人的命也是命抗议活动一直在美国继续，多数示威是和平的，但有些充满了抢劫和破坏行动。特朗普总统通过一项名为传奇行动的积极联邦警务部署进行镇压。
This bloodshed must end, this bloodshed will end. Today I'm announcing a surge of federal law enforcement into American communities plagued by violent crime.
特朗普正在派遣数百名联邦特工前往芝加哥、阿尔伯克基和其他城市，他说这些地方需要帮助制止犯罪。尽管州政府官员过去曾经寻求联邦政府的帮助以平息动乱，但本星期包括芝加哥在内的15个城市的市长谴责了他们所称的联邦政府的单方面部署。
Nameless agents riding around in vans, pulling people off the street, depriving them of their constitutional rights, that is not what a democracy looks like.And we are not going to have that in the city of Chicago.
特朗普已经将联邦特工派往波特兰和西雅图等城市，但未能缓解紧张局势。
Going in and arresting a bunch of people and sending in the feds may give you a moment's peace, but it's not going to give you long-lasting peace.
特朗普的联邦警务做法正在法庭上受到挑战，但即使他输了，也可能已经占据了政治上的优势。
The radical left-wing mob's agenda? Take over our cities, defund the police, pressure more towns to follow, and Joe Biden stands with them.
拜登表示，他反对削减警察拨款，但确实赞成对警察部门进行有条件的援助。特朗普的竞选活动采用的说法是，美国陷入了混乱，要让代表法律和秩序的候选人在11月胜选。
People running for office will often use conflict, things like ethnic conflicts or, you know, inter-ethnic riots as a way to stir up support for their side. And already we've seen something like that where the Trump campaign is using footage from protests in places like Portland in their campaign advertisements.
尽管特朗普说全国范围暴力犯罪上升，但联邦调查局的数据显示，许多主要城市的犯罪率都比几十年前要少。美国之音维达库斯瓦拉报道。
在星期三的早晨，纽约市政厅外的抗议者营地撤除之后，工作人员开始着手清理抗议活动留下来的痕迹。
在曼哈顿下城的清理工作是在对纽约市警察局进行为期1个月的抗议并支持黑人的命也是命运动之后展开的。示威者呼吁把纽约市警察局的预算削减10亿美元。上个月，纽约市通过了2021年的预算。纽约市警察局60亿美元的运营预算被砍掉了将近4亿8400万美元。在场的活动家明确表示，他们的使命尚未实现。贾旺查是一位纽约活动人士，他把清理现场的消息告诉了路透社。
This is about black lives and the demand for black lives being erased, and it's not okay.
纽约市警察局长斯皮内拉告诉记者，当地时间清晨3:40，几百名警察开入将抗议者驱离，逮捕了7个人。他说，据说有人投掷石块砸到一个警官，但没有伤到他。 在警察开入之前，抗议者收到了一个10分钟的警告。斯皮内拉说，为了清理营地，现场将被封锁几个星期。
And what we saw change over the last few weeks was the gathering there got smaller and smaller, was less and less about protests, more and more became an area where homeless folks were gathering. I said repeatedly, we do always respect the right to protest, but we have to think about health and safety first, and the health and safety issues were growing. So it was time to take action. That was the decision that we made yesterday.
活动人士乔纳森·莱克斯对清洗行动表示不满。
And this morning, the city of New York has just decided to tear it down like it ain't nothing, and that's a problem. But it's okay because we know the power of the people is the power of the people, and the power of the people won't stop.
美国之音新闻报道。
流行带来的封锁导致许多企业关闭，一些人认为这可能是提出业务中断保险索赔的最佳时机，不过事实可能并非那么容易。
For example, this table gets seated. This table does not. This table does not get seated. This table does get seated.
客人以棋盘式就坐，每隔开一张桌子才能坐人。酒吧可以招待4个人，而不是通常的20人。像美国首都的其他餐厅一样，这家餐厅只能以50%的容量运营，提供室内餐饮。这意味着在餐厅从3月到6月全面关闭以后，现在利润也减少一半。
We laid some people off, we furloughed some people that went and got unemployment compensation, and now they're back. So we've got almost everybody back.
4分熟餐馆业主马克·布彻说，大流行病使他损失了$90,000。为了尝试弥补，布彻和他的保险公司取得联系，希望他付出的$25,000保费能够得到回报。
We, like many responsible business owners, filed a claim with our insurance company saying that our business has been interrupted due to circumstances beyond our control, and we're going to seek to the insurance company for reimbursement of lost sales and profits under the wording of our policy.It didn't take very long to get a letter back saying we're denying your claim. A pandemic or a virus is not a covered cause of loss.
2002年到2003年非典爆发席卷全球，当时保险公司不得不支付成百上千万美元的赔偿。在那之后，保险公司修改了他们的政策。有些公司加入了直截了当的条文，说他们不承保因为大流行病或病毒爆发造成的损失。其他一些公司采用了更为复杂的措辞，但异曲同工。不过独立的专家指出，这完全取决于如何解释合同。
That's the thing. If they're requiring physical loss only, then you're kind of stuck. But a good business interruption policy shouldn't have a physical loss requirement. Some of them, they don't have a direct physical loss requirement.But they're still using it anyway. They're adding it in as if it was there, and it's not.
然而保险公司解释说，新保单并不是为了逃避付款才采用的，他们仅仅在试图维持保险业。美国从来没有出现过这么大规模的灾难，在这次大流行之前，最大的灾害是卡特里娜飓风，它为保险公司造成$540亿的损失。据美国财产伤亡保险协会的数据，新冠病毒大流行导致的损失每月在$2500亿和$4300亿之间，而这不仅仅是小企业，这占保险公司偿付未来损失的所有经费的半数以上。
If a pandemic is specifically mentioned in the insurance contract, the number of insurance claims will be so large it will surpass the amount these companies can pay.
тем более сейчас.
保险业者说，在今天这样的情况下，应该由政府来支持小型企业。而相反的是，小企业主在敦促政府修改法律，让保险公司无法在类似当前大流行病的特殊情况下逃避支付索赔。美国之音瓦西列娃，华盛顿报道。
随着新学期的临近，美国许多州的学校也在考虑重新开放，而家长和学校们都在考虑是否要将孩子送回教室。各个州不同的学区也有不同的选择。
维吉尼亚州费尔法克斯郡向家长提供部分面授教学和部分在线教学，以及全日在线学习两种选择。米歇尔和乔纳决定让他们的9岁儿子在家学习，11岁女儿则每周2天到学校上课。
Main factor there was that she really draws a lot of energy from her classmates, and she's very, you know, she's very close with a lot of her classmates, and she really just, I think it would have crushed her to not be able to see any of them.Next year.
但这个决定对哥德斯拉格一家人来说并不容易。
The transition to online learning was difficult, and I would say that her voice was lost a bit in the digital classroom.
We don't have anybody who's at high risk in our household, so that was one factor. Our families don't live particularly close, so we don't see them tremendously frequently.So we think the precautions seem very reasonable, in terms of limiting the number of students and wearing masks and, the not having recess and all those other things that they're doing.
玛丽安姆·艾洛姆是两个孩子的母亲，她和哥德斯拉格住在同一学区。她为儿子选择每周4天在线学习。她10几岁的女儿想去学校上课，这让她很担忧。
And I worry about what to do with my parents who are in their 70s and 80s. And similarly, I know there are other neighbors who have told me one is a doctor and she doesn't want to expose her patients to further risk. One has a husband who has a heart condition.
教师也可以选择他们要面授或在线授课。英格·莫兰在阿灵顿一所学校教法语，他最初渴望回到教室。
As I thought about it more and I read more of the data about what we know about COVID-19, I got really more nervous because I imagined going into the classroom and I imagined children not wearing the mask all the time, taking it off, and that I would have a chance of getting the disease. And then I thought about the other people in the building who might be at higher risk, the school bus drivers.The custodians.
阿灵顿学区已决定从部分面授转为全日在线学习。莫兰相信在线学习的体验将在秋天大大改善。
Every teacher I know is spending their free time in the summer planning and researching how to do this.
与此同时，维吉尼亚州一些学校已准备好全日制开放。
And we also have very rural school divisions in the southwestern corner of the state. They're very rural areas where there hasn't been the level of infection that we've seen in more populated areas.
进行面授课程的学校正在为孩童和教职员制定新的程序，包括强制戴口罩、在教室吃午餐和限制人体接触游戏等。
Our school divisions have to file 2 plans with the Department of Education, the State Department of Education. One plan is about health. How are you going to mitigate the risk of the coronavirus? How are you going to sanitize the learning environment? how are you going to practice social distancing for students and staff? The other plan is about instruction.
美国各地也正在进行类似的准备工作，让学区管理部门、校长、老师和家长自行选择。一些大城市地区，例如圣地亚哥、洛杉矶和亚特兰大，决定采取全日制在线学习。美国之音弗洛兹科·巴克维茨维吉尼亚州费尔法克斯报道。
进行广泛的新冠病毒检测是非常困难的，但是城市的下水道暗藏玄机，可能能够帮助我们追踪新冠病毒。
三月初，当载有感染新冠病毒的乘客和船务人员的至尊公主号游轮停靠在加利福尼亚州的奥克兰时，艾琳·怀特面临一个艰巨的任务。怀特是废水处理公共事业的主任，为旧金山东湾地区685000个家庭服务。
They came into the port of Oakland with a cruise ship full of waste, and they needed to get rid of it. And so we effectively treated, you know, some of the first coronavirus sewage.
检测污水的病毒是有效摧毁病毒的必要步骤。人们很快发现，在其他方面检测可能也有用处。
Early on, we were approached by a number of universities. Would we want to, you know, help be part of the process and trying to figure out how sewage could be a useful tool as an early indicator of the presence of coronavirus in the community versus waiting for people to show up in the hospital?
由于许多原因，控制病毒所需的大规模患者检测遭遇障碍。虽然并非每个人都会接受检测，但每个人都会上厕所。
You're seeing in the sewage before people are really showing the symptoms days and weeks before.
怀特的团队每周搜集样本，送往好几个实验室，包括伯克利加州大学的尼尔森实验室。
We're really interested in trends of increasing or decreasing infections, and that would help guide decision making.
但要从尚未处理的污水中获得有用的数据，也有很多挑战。
There's a lot of things that make wastewater complicated, right? So it's not just poop and pee and wastewater, it's also rainwater and laundry water and things that vary with time. And so that will affect how dilute the virus is in the sample, like how much we can detect.
废水流行病学家成功地追踪了脊髓灰质炎和埃博拉病毒，但新冠病毒危机的规模正在驱策前所未见的快速反应。一个由400多个研究人员组成的国际联盟，每周都在就方法和标准进行合作。总部设在马萨诸塞州的生物机器人分析公司，目前正在使用机器学习分析来自美国41州的废水样本。
Wastewater data that you measure today is giving you an early warning indication of how many new COVID-19 cases you will see in that community.About 7 days out.
这是因为在感染最初几天，人们通常没有症状，也不会接受检测。然而，当他们上厕所，还是会排出病毒。
Wastewater gives you that window of opportunity.
尽早发现疫情有助于卫生官员分配资源并挽救生命。
The amount of value that people suddenly see in wastewater, I think, is refreshing.To realize that it is this catchment of all of society and that we have a way of tracking important diseases. And I think it'll probably be used going well into the future as well.
伯克利的纳尔逊实验室计划今年秋天在自己的校园里对污水进行检测，以支持这所大学的安全重开。美国之音记者马特·迪布尔，加利福尼亚州伯克利发来报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们下次节目再见。